Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Hello, this is Matthew Whitney Harrington from Camp Hudson, the Camp Hudson Players Theater Troupe will present encore production of their original play, Happiness in the Spotlight. Have you ever asked yourself, what makes you happy? You will include to see our cast finds within the backdrop of an award ceremony where everyone is dressed in a nice through energy, funny, putting scenes. This play comes Mount Media piece along with live. The performance is free and will be filmed in front of a live audience. So play a role, bringing the live action theater is playing to movie screen. We hope to see you there on Friday, November 10th, 2023, at 6 p.m.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Rob Gellis of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Jamal Cutler reports in Columbia Green Media about a rare sight. A private developer broke ground on building affordable housing in Hudson on November 3rd. The Galvin Foundation is building 63 new apartments and 4 commercial spaces at 76 North 7th Street. Of the 63 apartments, 20% will be set aside for moderate-income households, and the rest will be workforce housing with retail spaces on the first floor. Dan Kent, Galvin Vice President of Initiatives, said, and I quote, "We view the ground floor commercial as an extension of Warren Street, and we had so many great businesses on Warren Street, and this is creating a new commercial district. One thing special about the commercial spaces in our building is that we're going to have a priority for minority and women-owned businesses," end quote. The project is costing $25 million and may take 18 months to complete. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson said, and I quote, "We're happy to have brand new units of housing. This is incredible. Our city is dealing with a housing crisis right now. We've seen our football team get canceled for a second straight season because not enough families can afford to live here. We have over 200 open positions in our hospital. This is now somewhere our nurses, doctors, and teachers can afford to live," end quote. Governor Kathy Hochul and many other politicians have been talking about an affordable housing crisis throughout the state, but no local cities or towns have built any new affordable housing lately. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that an Orthodox Jewish property developer returned last week to his Hyde Park property in Dutchess County from a trip to war-torn Israel and found a swastika on the land where he wants to build homes. Sam Mermerstein, the developer of the enclave at Hyde Park on Cream Street, said, and I quote, "This is not something you want to see when you come back home. The swastika really scared me," end quote. Mermelstein believes he was targeted. He said, and I quote, "I dress like a Jew, I look like a Jew, and people know me," end quote. He said he often attends town meetings to get approval for his housing development. Currently, Israel is at war with the terrorist group Hamas, with both sides also killing many civilians. Hyde Park Police Chief Robert Benson said his department is investigating the incident, and anyone with information should call the Hyde Park Police Department at 845-299-9340. And you can read the full story at Mid-Hudson News. Molly Burke reports in the Times Union that Securus Technologies, a Texas-based company that provides telephone service to thousands of inmates in New York's prison system and several county jails, is being hit with multiple lawsuits alleging it violated inmates' privacy rights, including recording privileged calls with attorneys. Many courts have allowed prison officials to surveil inmate communications, but not with attorneys. The company's software records conversations inmates have on phones and then transcribes those discussions. 7 years ago in California, Securus Technologies agreed to a $900,000 settlement in a case about the company illegally recording prisoner calls. The Maine Monitor found in 2019 and 2020 that there were recordings of calls between at least 161 inmates and attorneys from 34 law firms at jails that contract with Securus Technologies. But a federal class action lawsuit filed in Maine against the company failed to show Securus Technologies intended to record those calls. The company has settled with payouts other lawsuits. Elizabeth Daniel Vasquez, a counsel at Neighborhood Defender Services, said, and I quote, "Since 2014, they have been sued year after year in jurisdiction after jurisdiction for the same problem and the same practice, and they're not doing anything to effectively end the issue," end quote. The company released a statement saying, and I quote, "Securus Technology takes privacy and security extremely seriously, which is why we have worked diligently to protect the rights of our product users, including incarcerated individuals, correctional staff, and the public," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, COVID-19 updates, and election results. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, November 8th. Local early morning temperatures range from 28 degrees in Tannersville to 37 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 50 degrees. The river temperature is 49. A very cold morning for most turns just cold by 1 p.m. when we see a high of 44 degrees. But winds will be kicking up, bringing the overall condition back down. So layer up well if you head outside. Overnight it gets interesting, especially if you are in an elevated area. You may see ice accretion or snow buildup overnight. Down on the ground for everyone else, it should be a mix, mostly rain for some, and sleet possibly around 3 a.m. A low of 35 hopefully is all we see. Assuming that holds out, tomorrow will start with very cold rain. Hypothermia causing rain, so protect yourselves well if planning to head outside. We get a high of 50 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight rain stops and we see a low of 39 degrees. Friday will be cloudy but dry with a high of 51. Saturday, little cooler, high of 46, and looks like no precipitation to be seen. Sunset today will be at 4:29 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:33 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be fast at 708 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 74, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Siamo lieto di poter rievocare in poche parole le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio ed il nuovo mondo.
That was Sun Ra and his orchestra going on an Egypt strut on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
They underestimated Ohio. And they have awakened a sleeping giant.
Kelly Copeland of Pro-Choice Ohio is hailing the vote to amend abortion rights into the state's constitution. The passing of Issue 1 will undo a ban on abortions at around 6 weeks and will create legal protections for anyone helping someone get reproductive care. Since Roe was overturned last year, voters have backed abortion rights in 6 states, including Kansas and Kentucky. Democratic Governor Andy Beshear has defied the odds again, winning a second term in deep red Kentucky, in part by dodging partisan labels.
The good job is a Democrat or Republican. A new bridge in red or blue.
Beshear beat Republican Daniel Cameron, the state's first black nominee from a major party. In Mississippi, first-term Governor Tate Reeves looks likely to have won re-election, continuing Republican dominance of that state's government.
Mississippi has momentum, and this is Mississippi's time, and we're looking forward to working for the people of Mississippi for 4 more years.
Reeves' Democratic opponent sought to highlight the governor's connection to a public corruption scandal, the misuse of nearly $80 million in welfare funds. Reeves denies any wrongdoing and ran on the largest tax cut in state history and raising teacher pay. Every seat in the Virginia General Assembly was on Tuesday's ballot. It looks unlikely that Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin will have the legislature he would need to enact a 15-week abortion ban, although Youngkin still plans to work on his agenda.
We're moving forward in order to build a better Virginia, and we're the party of hope, and hope beats fear every day of the week.
Results in Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, and Pennsylvania may foreshadow next year's congressional and White House races and will give clues about turnout. In Pennsylvania, voters sent another judge to the state Supreme Court. The race doesn't change the Democratic majority there, but signals implications for the future of voting and abortion rights in a battleground state. Sherelle Parker, a seasoned state politician who promised Philadelphia residents she would crack down on crime, will be the city's first woman mayor.
I didn't pull myself up by my bootstraps. There was a community and a village of people who lifted me up.
Rhode Island is sending its first black representative to Congress. Democrat Gabe Amo won the special election after the resignation of a 7-term congressman.
When I was 8 years old helping my mother study for the citizenship test, I never could have imagined that I would go with her to cast her ballot to vote for her son for the United States
And Maine voters look likely to have banned foreign governments from making campaign contributions in state elections, but not approved the transfer of ownership of the state's 2 largest private utilities to the public. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In defense of 2 restrictive voting laws, the state of Kansas argued to the Kansas Supreme Court Friday that voting is not a fundamental state constitutional right, as an appeals court had ruled. Democracy groups challenged 2021 laws implementing notoriously inaccurate signature matching for mail-in voting and restricting third-party handling of ballots. Both impede the right to vote for elderly and disabled citizens. The Kansas Reflector reports that a district court judge dismissed the case, but an appeals court panel ruled in March 2023 that the Kansas Constitution and Kansas Constitution Bill of Rights guarantee voting as a fundamental constitutional right. In Friday's arguments, Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach said, "If any of us wishes to exercise our freedom of speech, we may do so whenever we choose. If we wish to worship, we may do so whenever we choose. We have absolute autonomy, and we really don't rely on anyone or any entity for us to do that. The same cannot be said about voting." In the appellate decision, Judge Stephen Hill wrote, "It was by free elections that we gained statehood. Thus, voting rights are preserved in the Kansas Constitution. Great care must be taken when trying to limit or infringe on those rights. Voting was important then. Voting is important now." The Kansas Supreme Court's ruling is pending. We have the appellate decision and more on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we hear brand new local music from the Field Knots. That is Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer on vocals and Robert Lloyd providing the music on this song called Snow, a 2022 release.
Snow. Do you feel as if your life depends on shapes? Circles next to circles. Triangles next to squares. This psychological experiment will determine if you're capable of happiness. I'm good at games, but I haven't yet received a reward. Colored flags, small like pennants, snap in February wind. I watch the cold, surviving paper lanterns, mistakenly left outside. Those shrubs could be forsythia. Question mark path leads across the field. Tiny V's and T's float lackadaisical, but not unbeautiful. Patterns inflict themselves. Mother, father, sister, brother, arranged as columns with a candle in between to nudge me away from the regularity that becomes a hiding place in everyday life.
Same town blues, same old walls closing in. Well, what a life a mess can be. Well, I'm sitting here thinking of you. Won't you give your thoughts to me? Well, time won't wait, better open the gate. Get out and start, needs to be done. It's winding down, there's much you miss. Working on that graveyard shift. But I'm not saying things won't go wrong. It's day comes along. What I see is true. I could learn to believe. Can't look away. Powers that be might take it all away. Together we'll burn. Together we'll burn it away. Sunset land of paradise, sunset land of pain. Well, what side are you looking from? Some people have it all, and some want the gain. Well, man, it's hot, bump your dime for a break, it's $20 bill. There's plenty of reason in this world, moving along or standing still. But I'm not saying things won't go wrong, as day comes along. What I see is true, I could learn to believe. Can't look away, powers that be. Thank you.
wasted too much time, spent looking for a reason. Since the simple ones beat the most truth. Well, what a life a mess can be. Well, I'm sitting here thinking of you, won't you give these thoughts to me? Well, time on way better open the gate. Get out, start, needs to be done. It's winding down, there's much you miss. Working on that graveyard shift.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Rensselaer County has been asked to open up a countywide animal shelter. So far, county officials have not been particularly supportive of the proposal. We talked to two local advocates, Sue McDonough, who's with New York State Humane Association, and Val Walden, who's a professor of animal law over at Hudson Valley Community College. Valerie, maybe we'll start with you. Why is there a need for an animal shelter? What's bringing on this request?
Mark, what happened about a year ago was the Mohawk Hudson River Humane Society in Menands was in a position where they could not, due to space concerns, except the volume of animals that they had been over the years. You know, at one time, Mohawk Hudson was our only animal shelter, but Rensselaer County has grown, the area has grown, and what happened as a result was the Mohawk Hudson Humane Society severed contracts with a number of towns and municipalities in the surrounding area, including Rensselaer County, including most of our towns and municipalities. We learned of this in November, about a year ago, and it was to go into effect in January. So we had about 8 weeks to scramble to find places to put stray dogs. And the problem we're finding is there was so little notice, and there are so little places that are viable. For example, our town, Sand Lake, contracted with Agway in Brunswick to place the stray dogs. This is not a long-term solution. It's not sustainable. North Greenbush, where Sue is, has their dog control officer bringing stray dogs to his garage. We've learned of other municipalities, Mark, that have traveled long distances with stray dogs to adjoining counties because there's no place to put them. So that's what brought it on, was the severing of the contracts with a shelter that we had contracted with for many years. And we support them. We understand their dilemma. But at this stage, the towns are scrambling.
Okay, what has the county's responses been? Why have they been apparently resistant to this idea? What's their argument?
Well, the county is not responding because the New York State Agriculture and Market Law, Article 7, states that every town shall have a pound or a shelter for dogs every town where dogs are licensed, that issues dog licenses, must have a pound or shelter for dogs. So the county feels that this is not their responsibility then to have a humane society. But what they are missing is that is only one section of the New York State agriculture and market law that applies to animals. That section does not take into account animal cruelty, animals that have to be surrendered, animals that are lost, that are unwanted, that are stolen. It doesn't take into account cats. And there is another section of the agriculture and market law, Article 26, which does address all these things. It addresses any animal cruelty. And that section of law mandates that the police must handle animal cruelty in New York State. The police are obligated by law to make arrests for animal cruelty. And so therefore, animals are evidence, and when they are seized in a crime, anything involving cruelty, they have to have a place to go. And that can't be just some garage where some dog control officer maintains one or two stray dogs. We've tried to explain to the county executive that it doesn't make sense for 14 municipalities. There's 14 towns and there's two cities in Rensselaer County. It doesn't make sense for every one of them to have a separate place to put stray dogs. In the meantime, there is no one main humane society where all the dogs and the cats would be able to go. And if there was a case of major cruelty, the animals could go there, whether they are dogs or cats or stray or injured or victims of horrific human violence inflicted upon them. They would have one centralized place.
Now, I remember a number of years ago, perhaps under the Cuomo administration, but the state was actually providing financial incentives to the counties to try to consolidate just these type of municipal services. So, you know, has the state been saying, hey, this is something, the other counties beginning to step into this? And I imagine with COVID and the change in people staying home and then now going back out, that's probably resulted in an increase in dogs being abandoned and other pets being abandoned?
Well, without question. If you, for example, look at the website nextdoor.com, we see on a regular basis every day, animals missing, animals lost, cats, dogs. People don't know where to go, Mark, at this point, for their animals, all over the area. Our frustration is in part that the county executive won't even speak with us. He won't even consider the idea. And I would just like to go on the record as saying, let's not forget that they recently purchased the old Rose Kernan building in East Greenbush for $10.2 million and are renovating parts of that right now. That's a luxury. What we're talking about is a necessity. In addition, they are boasting of a 10% tax decrease in the county. Okay, good, great. But we've been assured by the minority party, who were very supportive of this, that the money is there. And it's just a question of priorities. And it's not a priority to our county executive or the majority Republican Party.
Have the towns at all weighed in and try to convince the county executive, listen, Steve, this is going to save us a lot of tax dollars here. Let's not have duplication of services. Why can't you get behind it? You any of the town officials doing that for you?
Sue and I drafted, to answer your question, I don't think so. Sue and I drafted a letter to all the town supervisors in Rensselaer County outlining the issues and the problem. We were fortunate enough to meet with the Sand Lake outgoing town supervisor and the incoming town supervisor, and they confirmed to us they have no long-term plan. They are absolutely as desperate as we say they are. And it's likely, for example, with Sand Lake, that the Agway, where our dogs are currently being taken, is not going to renew the arrangement with the town of Sand Lake. So all, yeah.
We just have a minute left. So what do you plan? What's the next step in trying to convince the county to do this in 45 seconds?
They've made it clear to us that they're not going to fit the bill, but they could work with us. They could talk to us. They could work with us. It's almost become hostile, which is unnecessary.
Yeah, well, I'm actually afraid that what is going to happen is there's going to be some serious issues with dogs, maybe some dangerous dogs running loose because there's no place to put them. It's going to become a human health problem. Cats, as you know, do carry rabies in New York State. They don't want anything to do with cats whatsoever. So they are being dumped in the streets as we speak.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. We've been talking about the idea of getting a Rensselaer countywide animal shelter with Valerie Walden and also Sue McDonough. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Next, we hear a 2022 release of Radio Art from Claire Rousey doing Hating It, her interpretation of the score of Salome Vogelin's track on the Paint Your Lips While Singing Your Favorite Pop Song 2022 album.
Here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 43 degrees. There will be rain likely on Wednesday night, mainly after 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And on Thursday, rain is likely mainly before 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 46 degrees. And on Thursday night, a slight chance of showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 38 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Getting up to my static, static in my attic from Channel Z.
Here is 2022 new music from Finesse. This song is called Sound Earth on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.